food is obviously essential in self-care. I want people to have more of a connection to what they're choosing to put into their bodies. My best friend was going through a really scary autoimmune disease where she was losing control of her muscles. They were saying there's really nothing they could do. I, at the same time, was going through a really painful breakup with my family. A lot of crying, a lot of physically debilitating energy where I just couldn't move. She ended up turning her autoimmune disease around. And I, for the first time in months, had this feeling of hope that I was not going to be trapped by depression and anxiety for the rest of my life.
We're conditioned to think about food in terms of quantity. We're kind of paying attention to the wrong thing.
The gut-mind connection makes absolute sense to me. The more whole the food is, the easier it is to digest, which allows essentially ease in all the rest of your systems. How could I take this experience of healing through food, transmute all of that and turn it into my own experience? I just kind of thought, I need to give this a try. At the very root, at the beginning of the business, I promised myself that I would never...
Christy Goldsby, welcome to the Ginny Show. I was just diving into your story and I recognized a theme that really resonated with me personally, and that's the connection that you had between physical health and mental health. And this seems to be a particularly big motivator in your business. Can you tell me about the message you're trying to communicate through your brand about holistic well-being?
I want people to have a little bit of more of a connection to what they're choosing to put into their bodies, not just a pleasurable experience and something to fuel you for your days, but also as a resource for you to truly like take care of your health.
What inspired you to start this journey was that you saw firsthand what a close friend of yours went through with being diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. Can you talk to me about what it was like experiencing her go through that and how you got to here?
My best friend, Jennifer, was going through a really scary autoimmune disease experience where she was losing control of her muscles. It was called myasthenia gravis, and it was something that she was able to get a diagnosis for, but she wasn't able to find any cures for, or they were saying there's really nothing they could do. She was pretty scared, and they were saying it's essentially kind of one of these things that can go the ALS route, where you eventually just lose the ability to swallow and things like this. So she was very freaked out. She would lose the ability to move like half of her face or her body. And her Tai Chi teacher at the time said that there was a cleanse that he had done when he was very, very ill, and that this cleanse had helped him. So he gave her a book called The Body Ecology Diet. It was very much about gut health and like candida and that kind of a thing. And this is in 2010. So this is back in the day where there wasn't a ton of kind of awareness around gut health. So I did this cleanse with her as a support. And I, at the same time, was going through a really painful, I would say, fracturing or breakup with my family, because we had been running this bakery business together. And I had pulled away from the bakery because our family relationships were really struggling. It had been like 6 years in business together. My sister and I, who had been super close our whole lives, were just not speaking. My mom had gotten really sick. It was just this whole situation happening. And I had two little kids, and I was really suffering from quite a bit of anxiety and depression at that time myself.
That sounds like a lot to carry. I mean, not only were you struggling, but everyone around you was too. I'm wondering, how did that cleanse affect you and your friend?
So when I did the cleanse with Jen, she ended up turning her autoimmune disease around. She discovered she had celiac disease. At the same time, so cutting out the gluten in itself was this like life-changing thing for her. I, for the first time in months, had this feeling of hope that I was not going to be kind of strapped by depression and anxiety for the rest of my life. I really was wondering if it was something that was just going to kind of own me. When you're being mindful about one thing, you tend to be mindful about other things. So both of us really had this like complete aha moment, and our lives both changed really completely. And that's when I started Honey Mamas.
What were some of the physical symptoms that you were going through at the time?
Oh, just a lot of crying, a lot of physically debilitating energy where I just couldn't move. Very foggy headed. I was drinking more than I like to. I literally had lost the zip in my step, trying to be a mom and then going through this like sensation of deep fracturing from a family I had been really close to my whole life. I was in my mid-30s at this point. I just felt depleted, completely depleted physically, you know, energetically. And that just crossed all the areas of my life.
Food especially can be such an intense subject matter for all of us because culturally it means one thing, in community it means another thing, and we're conditioned to think about food in terms of quantity, right? How it affects our weight, how much we're taking in. We're kind of paying attention to the wrong thing. One of the documentaries I watched recently on Netflix called Hack Your Health, it talked a lot about the relationship between the food that we eat, our gut, and the way that we feel. And one of the things that I remember distinctly from this documentary was the relationship between our brains and our gut. So what did you learn about gut health and its role in our overall health, Christy?
I learned that the more foods that we put in there that are processed, for example, the harder our gut has to work to digest and to manage all of that in our system. So the more whole the food is that you're eating, the easier it is to digest, which allows essentially ease in all the rest of your systems. Whole foods that are nutrient rich that I'm going to give you to fuel your brain, your all of your cells and everything else. And so it's not going to be depleting the energy from the rest of your body. And I think of it as just like putting the best gas in your car that you can and not taking away from that. And so things that you would never really think about, like the difference between, say, eating regular nuts and eating nuts that, number one, are organic and or sprouted so that they're partially essentially digested before you're even eating them. Oils that are unrefined instead of refined. It's like I'm eating an almond. It's who cares? You know, it's an almond. It's got all these great benefits. Well, if you're eating a sprouted almond, you're actually able to absorb the nutrients that are in that almond by like 50 to 60% greater. And so your body is immediately having to do less work. So my thinking immediately was, I just loved it. Law of least effort. You know, it's like, what can we be giving ourselves that is easeful? And I loved how that translated to a generalized mindset.
I'm wondering, as you learned all these things, what part of you stopped and screamed, hey, this is my calling. I should create a business out of this. When was that moment?
I definitely had the entrepreneurship bug during the bakery years. We had a brick and mortar space. We did a farmer's market. We sold cinnamon rolls and pecan rolls to grocery stores and these like take and bake frozen 4-packs. And so I was really driving a lot of that growth. And I would say it was an unfolding of after I had done the cleanse, I was starting to feel so much better. And then once I was feeling better, I was feeling more rooted and in myself. And this healing process was really, really occurring. And I just remember talking with my husband and saying, how could I take this experience of healing through food and apply that to this beauty and this pain that was kind of this experience from Blue Gardenia, which was the bakery that we had, and transmute all of that and turn it into my own experience, which would be a very healing experience and honor where I'd come from. And so that bakery and that family stuff that was happening allowed that to be celebrated instead of stuck.
I think it's really cool and such a beautiful story that you're finding solutions to your own health challenges and then you're paying it forward. And you're making it easier for people with similar dietary needs to find food that makes them feel better.
I felt like this was such a profound thing of like recognizing you don't have to eat crappy tasting foods just because they're gluten-free. Like, how can you eat something that actually tastes like your grandma's chocolate cake or whatever and still have it be healing or like, you know, doesn't have the allergies in it that are so that can be detrimental for people. For me, it was just this culmination of thinking about turning pain into joy and kind of love and actually celebrating the things that were there to be really celebrated. It was a really cool experience. And I think knowing that the grocery store shelves were where, that's where the conversation is happening. I knew the model. And so I just kind of thought, I need to give this a try. You know, I need to come up with something that can bridge these two worlds that I know and love.
Spirituality and grounding was a big part of your life. Like, you were spending time at the Oregon Buddhist Church in Portland Sundays for like a good 8 to 10 years, right? And that was with your family, right? That was a very combined experience that you had with your family. Now you're going through all this disconnect and heartbreak and separation from the very people that you've grounded yourself with in your foundational years. You kind of had to recalibrate, right? And figure out something else. That must have been quite intense.
It really was. It really was. I was differentiating truly, I think, for the first time.
What are some beliefs or things that you've learned from the Oregon Buddhist Church that you take with you today, if you still do?
I think that my biggest takeaway from that really truly was a way of interacting and connecting to people was very specific. Like, we were the only white people in a predominantly Japanese church. Not very many people spoke very good English. So it was a really interesting experience. The whole mindset, I think, of the lack of dogmatism, for one thing. What does Brené Brown say? It's like strong back, soft front. That sense of generalized kind of humility. Every year, there was an event called Obon, and we would practice these dances in kimonos with the women and the men, and we would practice for a couple of months beforehand. This sensation of being connected to that group of other people, doing ritual and this ceremony. I just loved every single thing about the connection to those other people, and I loved being in a culture that was not like my own. I have continued to love ceremony and ritual. I have danced with a group of other dancers since I was 16 and still do it to this day. It's one of the things that I love the most. And just a general sense of connectedness to people, other people around me and things around me. I think that I took all of those things from the Oregon Buddhist Church. It was incredibly formative, and I'm just so grateful for it. I do think that there's just a lot of differences with the Western kind of mindset and that what I grew up with. I kind of always have felt like I'm like missing out on some element of like competitive nature, which is very Western. I'm driven. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm ambitious, but trust the process. And I think that a lot of that came from those early years with the Buddhists.
This could be a sticky question, Christy, but what is the biggest lie you've been told about entrepreneurship now that you've been doing this for 11 years?
The one? Let's see. No,
let's start with one.
There's a playbook that you can plug into that if you just do it right with the right people somehow and have the right things, you're going to be a success. Well, I would say I don't feel like that was a lie, but boy, is that not linear. It's also like the economy changes and the world changes and what people are interested in. With my business, I definitely think we have been lucky that I created a company that definitely has had tailwinds since the beginning because people are more mindful in their eating and health, better for you foods is, and gluten-free stuff has come such a long way and everything. But entrepreneurship, if you just can grind it out, you'll get it done. I don't know how much I believe in that. I didn't start the company till I was about 44. Certainly with the bakery, I feel like it was my MBA because none of us knew really anything about business at that point. We just had a passion and a desire. And if you can get your margins, you know, where you need them and you've got good products, it's just so much more complicated than that. And with like a business where I am in now, which is a, you know, consumer products business, that whole plug and play idea, this is the game plan. And it's like, well, what do you do when that doesn't work? The lie, I would reframe that as like, what do I wish somebody would have maybe even just told me back then? And that would have been like, strap your seatbelt on, lady. You better be ready to pivot up a storm and dig into places that you just had no idea that you still had energy for it. And there's just a lot of lessons along the way that have been incredible. I don't regret it at all.
health and well-being is so much a part of your business ethos and how you got to this journey. I'm curious how you approach self-care, Christy. How do you manage to be so successful and still take care of you 11 years after being on this roller coaster ride of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's changed over the years. Two of the pillars of the self-care for me are physical movement, taking care of myself from that place. Like, I sprained my ankle 2 weeks ago, and I just, the last 2 days, have gone on walks where I sweated enough, where I actually got that sense of release, which is, I just love, you know, it's like, okay, you just hit the reset button. So definitely that. And then also, of course, food is huge for self-care. It's like choosing foods that work with my system. If I eat refined sugar, for example, I will get depressed the next day. Like, I will feel it that quickly. I just don't do well with refined sugar. Choosing foods, especially as I'm aging more and more, it matters. And then I think the other thing for me is, because I'm truly, I think, an introvert, I love to be around people and the energy exchange around that. And I like to have a lot of fun, but I need a lot of recharge time and a lot of space. So I have to have that built into my day, or certainly my weeks, in order to kind of stay grounded. And usually it's through meditation. Even if I don't like formally kind of meditate, I do an hour in the mornings where I don't talk to anybody. I don't look at my phone. I'll sip on my coffee and just be quiet and listen to the sounds around me, that kind of thing. And then I would say the other thing that I've done is choosing the people to be around. And talk about boundaries. That's just one of the hardest life lessons, but really, like, choosing the people who I'm around. And certainly as it comes to business, being able to keep a business going strong is choosing the right people to have in the business. That's like a huge, huge aspect to well-being and to self-care.
A lot of it is energy management too, right, Christy? Especially when it comes to being fiercely protective around the energy you bring into that creative space for your business too. And that's where boundaries come into it. What would you say was the hardest boundary for you to set and keep?
At the beginning of the business, I promised myself that I would never dump so much of myself into the business that the rest of my life would just disappear, because I kind of did that with the bakery. The whole reason I started the bakery was so I could be with my daughters more and be a present parent with them. So I was really determined with Honey Mamas to have it be something that was financially sound, where when I feel that I'm getting burnout or that I'm grinding it out just too much and I'm losing the rest of myself and my life, that I bring people in to help me. And so I feel like that the hardest boundaries that I've set are really rooted in that, because in 2016, my dad died of a heart attack, and I was very close to him. It was very sudden. And we were just getting at the point with the business where we were kind of growing from a regional business to more national business. I was in go mode. I had just signed about to sign a lease on a 12,000 square foot manufacturing space. There was just a lot going on in the business. And so the winds were so taken out of my sails that when he died, I knew right then and there that in order for me to survive and not die of a heart attack as well at some point, and to just protect my heart, to protect my, oh gosh, just the healing process that has to occur, you know, letting that kind of happen. And I just loved Honey Mamas, and Honey Mamas had so much, we had done so much work and we had so much further to go. And I was really determined to keep that going. So I brought on a business partner in 2017 and really got lucky and found somebody who is literally the yang to my yin. Ended up bringing him on as CEO of the company about a year after we hired him to be GM. I would say that one of the hardest boundaries for me was, how do I step out of that driving, which was an incredible shift and a very healthy boundary to have. But it took a few years to really learn how to be in that role and to be empowered in that, I suppose, be empowered in that, and then also be empowering and just also use a different skill sets and lean into the skill sets that I actually needed to, that were going to be better for the company and for myself. But that, I would say was the biggest test of like, could I do it? Like I knew in my heart of hearts, like I was very clear on wanting to do that. But I would say the boundaries of learning how to lean into those. It's been a really incredible journey.
What is one bit of advice you would give for a new entrepreneur who's just about to go on that roller coaster, go on their own bouts of grief boundaries? What's one bit of advice you'd give them, given that you've gone through so much in the last 10, 15 years?
I would just say, know yourself. I would say, know yourself as best you can and do the work around that. Because if you know yourself, then you can really use that as a tool and a resource. Because being able to lean into the people around you who are really good at what they're doing as well is critical. It absolutely takes a team. You know, I say it over and over again. For people certainly who have had a child, I would say it's like when you have a kid and they hit that phase where they've stopped crying every night or they're out of there throwing their tantrums phase or whatever. It's like, don't get too comfortable because around the next corner is going to be a whole new phase that you're going to get steeped into. It's the tortoise and the hare thing. It's being able to pace yourself and be into the long game and have that mindset that's kind of critical.
Christy, tell me what's coming up for Honey Mamas this year. You clearly have got a lot of stuff going. Your product is delicious, having tried it myself. What's coming up this year for Honey Mamas?
So we just launched a brand new line, which took us 11 years to launch, which is a peanut butter based line. For years, we didn't do peanuts because of the facility that we're in. There's like a whole allergen situation, you know, that I wasn't really interested in taking the risk on. And this is a huge shift for us that we're really kind of starting to lean into this year. We just did our first bar called Peanut Butter Cup. It's my favorite bar. It's becoming quickly the best-selling bar in the line. And then we have a couple more flavors coming in. Peanut butter cookie is going to be released in the fall. So we're going to continue to grow the business in the natural grocery channel, which is where I've grown the company. So that's like the Whole Foods of the world and Sprouts and New Seasons and these and this independence. And then as we continue to kind of grow there, we are looking to do some really fun Costco business this next year, which I'm excited about, and then start stepping into more conventional grocery stores, the Krogers of the world, Publix and those types of stores, and be able to kind of fulfill that mission of getting the product into more people's mouths.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for generously spending time with me. I've learned so much more about you, and it's been an absolute pleasure having you on The Ginny Show. Thank you for joining me today. Your time and attention is something I'm so grateful for. This podcast is a production of Ginny Media. If you had fun, please subscribe and leave us a review. I'm Ginny Sarasvati. Listen to what your gut is telling you. Mine is definitely saying, Ginny, me want peanut butter cup now.